These five books were used extensively by Irenaeus's intellectual successors, people who were also attacking heresies, who would simply take what Irenaeus had to say and repeat it, regurgitate it, and then add on some of their own ideas. But his influence was quite extensive. He wrote extensively against the interpretive strategies used by the Gnostics, which they used in order to support their points of view. He sometimes gives specific instances of their interpretations in order to show why he thinks that these are willful interpretations that overlook the literal meaning of the text. And therefore, in his opinion, these interpretations can't be right because they overlook the literal meaning of the texts. A couple of the examples that he appeals to. The Valentinian Gnostics believed that there were 30 divine eons in the Pleroma. You get the one true God who emanates some divine eons, and eventually the number is 30 that come out. And so the Pleroma is made up of 30 eons. Gnostics could appeal to Scripture for the support that there were 30 eons. They pointed, for example, to the Gospel of Luke, where it says that Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old. Well, what's the significance of him starting when he was 30? Well, this is when he receives the divine eon into himself. He was 30 because there are 30 of these eons. And so this is used as a support for the view that there are 30 eons. These Valentinian Gnostics divided these 30 eons into three different groups. The final group was a group of 12 eons, the last of which was Sophia. Sophia, if you remember, Sophia means wisdom. Sophia was this final eon who fell from the divine realm, which led ultimately to the creation of the universe because she ended up giving birth to a creature not from within the eon, from within the Pleroma, but from outside. And so her fall from the divine realm led to the creation of the material world. The Valentinian Gnostics found support for this view of Sophia, the 12th of the final group of eons falling, in the fact that Scripture indicates that Judas Iscariot, the 12th of the disciples, fell away from Jesus' following to become a betrayer. This is a symbolic story, they thought. Judas Iscariot falling away because he's the 12th, and he's representing Sophia, the 12th of the final set of eons who fell away, leading to the material world. And so this is a support for their view. Irenaeus, who's attacking these points of view, considered these interpretations to be completely ludicrous because they violated the literal sense of the text. These texts about Jesus being 30 when he starts his ministry and Judas being the betrayer, these aren't about the divine Pleroma. They're not about Sophia falling. They're not about the creation of the material world. No, these are about Jesus being 30 years old when he starts his ministry, and Judas being one of the 12 disciples. They've got nothing to do with the Pleroma. It's the literal meaning that matters, not the figurative meaning. He attacks these Gnostics for making the texts mean what they want them to mean and ignoring what the texts actually say. In an effective image, he likens this Gnostic approach to somebody who has in front of him a beautiful mosaic, a mosaic image of a king. So mosaics made out of finely colored and polished stone that are carefully arranged to make an image. Well, Irenaeus says that this person who has this mosaic of the stone, mosaic of a king in front of him, take the stone and rearranges them into the likeness of a mongrel dog. By rearranging them into this image of the mongrel dog, they then have recreated what the image is, obviously. But then they come along and claim that that's what the artist meant to portray all along. For Irenaeus, that's what these Gnostics are doing. They're rearranging what the texts say to make them mean what they want them to mean, to make them appear the way they want them to appear, and then claiming that's what the text meant all along. For Irenaeus, that's completely unacceptable. You have to take the literal meaning of the text as primary. What's striking, though, is that for Irenaeus and others of his ilk, like Tertullian, it was legitimate to take the text figuratively when it met their own purposes. Even within Irenaeus, for example, the kosher food laws of the book of Leviticus are not meant to be taken literally. The kosher food laws do not refer to unacceptable foods. For Irenaeus, they refer figuratively to unacceptable kinds of people. For example, in the kosher food laws, Jews are told they cannot eat animals that chew the cud but do not have cloven hooves. Well, one might take that to mean that there are certain kinds of animals you can't eat. Well, no, not for Irenaeus. What this really means is that people should not be like Jews who have the Word of God in their mouths, so that they chew the cud, they have the Word of God in their mouths, but they do not move steadily towards God. They don't have cloven hooves.